The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Wake up sometimes, don't you? Wake up in the dark. Hear the screaming of the lamb.
Yes.
Do you think if you save poor Catherine, you could make them stop, don't you? You think if Catherine lives, you won't wake up in the dark ever again to that awful screaming of the lamb?
I don't know.
Secure the template. Set the backside guide to appropriate locks and basket. The backside guide tabs include setting the jig. Possessing template. What the hell am I reading?
Cindy, I am the architect. You have many questions. I've been watching you for a very long time.
So I see. But what is the connection between the crop circles and the videotape?
The answer is simple. You are the eventuality of an anomaly. You are inexorably seeking a sedulent probability.
Sedulent.
Grotesquery? No? What about contingent affirmation? That's gotta mean something.
Hey! You put cameras in my bathroom? What is this? Oh my God. Well, it was a long winter. This is an invasion of... Ow!
Oh, sorry. I can't help it. It's very lonely in here. Ergo, I haven't been with anyone in a very long time. Not counting myself. Or this chair. I call her... Linda.
Could you just cut to the chase? I'm kind of in a rush.
Why? You can always sleep over if you want. Linda's built for two, and she vibrates.
Stop it! Just tell me what I need to know. Who is that little girl?
Okay. My wife and I wanted a child, but she couldn't get pregnant. Neither could I.
So you adopted?
We loved our daughter, but she was evil. Made the horses crazy, killed our puppies, hid the remote. Really sick shit. My wife took her to the old family farm and drowned her in a well. I felt a simple time out would have been sufficient. But Tabitha imprinted her evil on a videotape. I never meant for it to get out, but...
But what?
And I put it in the wrong box and returned it to Blockbuster instead of my copy of Pootie Tang.
It's been circulating and killing ever since.
Just like Pootie Tang.
But what does this have to do with aliens?
I don't know. Perhaps Tabitha's summoning them to kill us all.
An alien invasion? I have to warn the world.
It's already begun.
Okay,
you're too late.
Listening to Frank Capello.
That's some control over there. You know what I mean?
It's already begun. You're too late. Modernists, ye sunburnt sicklemen, come hither from the furrow and be merry. The Bard of Broadcasting is now on the air. Wake up, it's night, Bard. I will on this evening, Y2K plus 13, solo we go with Cartolo. I am the one and only Cartolo. Do not accept any substitutes again. To Ice Cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Here we go with another Cartolo Chronicles. One more for the archives. Everything is in the archives. so it seems, right? But I promise you one thing. For the next, let's see, I'm not going to count it. You do the math. We're 9 minutes into it. It's already begun. You're too late. For the next some odd 120 minutes, 16 minutes, whatever, 15, whatever it may be, I guarantee you, you will leave after this with something to think about. This is the one and only Cartolo Chronicles, and here we go again, so stay with us. Get out your... What do you got to get out? Oh, a beverage of choice so you can replenish your precious bodily fluids. And let's go on this monkey-piloted trip to the moon. Look at that, it's... Okay, one more time. Yes, I am the Bard of Broadcasting. And this is the gateway to the new millennium. So here we go. You, me, and the lamppost, whatever that's supposed to be. So today, So today I learned something, and every time, not every time I learn something, but many times I hear things, facts, sometimes I hear lies, and the same, I get the same reaction. Sometimes I hear truths, lies, or whatever, and I have a reaction. What it does is it ignites something, it clicks something in my ever-moving conscious brain. My conscious brain is ever-moving. It doesn't stop. Now, I don't think anybody stops, except I am traveling with it, and sometimes it appears like I am moving faster than most people. But I'm just trying to keep up with my thoughts. And there's no, this is not a disease or a disorder. Don't let anybody fool you into thinking this. I know some people who tried to fool me. And they tried to convince me that what actually is going on is some disorder. But I figured out what was happening. Notice I didn't say what is wrong with me, because that's a judgment. I figured out what is happening. I figured out the reality of this particular thing, this thing. And I realize that I'm keeping pace like a violinist tries to keep pace with a time. Imagine if you're a violinist and you're in an orchestra and you've got an orchestra leader. You know, the guy who has the wand. Is that a wand? It's a baton. That's right. And you're doing this. Now imagine if this particular fellow or gal, although I've never seen a gal, I've never seen a woman lead an orchestra. Have you? Right? And what they do is set the tempo. Now imagine you're a violin and the person, to say person, let's make it an androgynous person, who is the orchestra leader with the baton. Imagine that for some reason or another, they start off too quickly. What are you going to do? Because whatever tempo they begin, that's the tempo that everyone is going to use. Everyone, by everyone, I mean everybody in the orchestra. There might be a 40-piece orchestra, which I think orchestra cannot be used as a definition for a group of musicians unless it is at least, I don't know, maybe it's 40, I don't know. Maybe it is. Because they say a full orchestra. So a half orchestra must be 20? That's just simple math. So this, imagine you're in a violin, right? And let's think of a song, you and I. Let's think of a tune that an orchestra would do. It could be anything. But let's think of, how about the syncopated clock? Does everyone know that? The syncopated clock? Yeah, Frank, why don't you pick a common song? I can imagine who doesn't know the syncopated clock. But it is, I'll give you a general how it's supposed to go in case you don't know it, because it's the first one that came to my mind. I'm keeping up with my thoughts. I'm trying to explain to you how I do this. So I'm, go along with me here. So it's like, dun, 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 da, da. You hear that? Da, dun, 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 da. This is a good tempo. Da, dun, dun, dun. Dun dun da dun, da dun 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 dun. Okay, so this is it. So imagine now you're going to be playing in an orchestra that is going to be playing that tune, which happened to have been written by one of my all-time favorite pop composers, Leroy Anderson. Dun dun dun, da dun da da. Well, we're going to call it up, and imagine. Well, maybe I can call it up while I'm talking. Now imagine you're in this orchestra. And you're a violinist. I use violinist only because, I don't know, I just use violin. Here, I'm going to call this up so that you I'm going to call this up so that you know, if you must have heard this. This is a very good example. Let's just play it. Unless, are you going to give me a commercial? Oh, here goes. Here. Okay. Dun, dun, dun. Now imagine you're a... And you can hear there's a lot of violins in that, right? It's actually a wonderful piece. You hear that? I was right. You see? My mind was working. See? So my mind was... Now, okay. Just get a taste of this music, this song, It does have lyrics, by the way. It is a song. This is just... this is the musical. You hear this? And I was correct. See? You got an idea? And I, okay, got an idea of what this... how many have heard this? Let me see a show of hands. Anything by Leroy Anderson, anything at all. I'm just in awe of this, even though it's pop, not, you know, not necessarily classical stuff. But listen to where this goes, and then I'll give you the idea. This is where my mind is going right now. Listen to this. And it's still here. Still doing that. Oh, can't do it there. Here. Hear that bells? They use bells? This is an orchestra for sure. I think that's good that I... listen. The tick-tock, see? Clock. Supposed to be the clock. I'm sure everybody's heard this. Isn't it strange that I picked this song? I'll tell you why it's strange in a second. Listen to how it ends. It's beautiful. Never thought you'd hear this and compare it to beauty. I mean, this is a beautiful piece. Listen to how it ends. Wasn't that just exceptional? What? No, not again. No, not again. We don't need it in a loop. Now, it's odd. And I guess it's no coincidence, as Freud would say. There's no coincidences. There's no coincidence that I chose that, because I'm talking about keeping up with my thoughts. This is what happened to me when I learned how to keep up with my thoughts, regardless of the tempo, and the tempo is usually very quickly. That's what I'm saying. It's always going quickly, my tempo. So I have to keep up with it, go with it, sometimes drop thoughts or what have you. And that's what I mean, syncopated. I picked the syncopated clock. Of all the music, I picked that because syncopation has to do with keeping time. So imagine now, you are the one of those violinists in that particular orchestra, and imagine that the androgynous leader, orchestra leader, I still don't know if that's exactly what, conductor, I'm sorry, what a dope, it's a conductor, of course, not that, isn't it funny that the same name, it's the same title for somebody who directs an orchestra as it is for somebody who takes tickets on a train, the conductor. Now my mind works in synonyms, syncopated synonyms, I may add. I did add, and I will continue to add. Imagine that the conductor, for some reason or other, we don't even have to know the reason, starts off like this. He goes, I said he, see, okay. I don't want to say it for androgynous. He or she goes, he or she, that's it. Imagine they do this. Imagine they talk like this. Now, what are you going to do? You're part of the orchestra. What do you think the orchestra is going to do? The orchestra is not going to go, dun, dun, dun. They're not going to go. They're going to keep up with it. He has set the tempo. And even though the music is in front of him, a conductor actually is a very, just a visual theater dramatist, because once he or she sets the tempo, the conductor doesn't do anything. People have to read their music on the music stands. They don't look at the conductor. He's telling them every notes, or telling them where to go fortissimo, or where to go dynamico, or where to go, you know, diversito, or falsetto, or whatever. And they're reading the symbols on the music sheets. Not even looking at him, so or her, or so. That's just. But they set the tempo, so everybody starts. Everything you got to keep up with you, the violinist. So suddenly, the syncopated clock, which you just heard, and that is the perfect tempo for it. Suddenly, it's like this. You got to do this. You got to just. You use the same notes, you just have to speed the tempo up. And suddenly, it's just going at that speed. Well, here was my problem when it was a problem. I was younger and I was in school, a place that I abhorred just about every single level till I got out. Of course, I got out. That was, you know, college was a little easier because it was so just, you know, free form. But still, I had to constantly stay out of tempo with my brain and my thoughts and the movement of ideas, concepts, feelings, emotions that drove the brain, because there was an unusual amount of activity going on in the conscious side of it. I think that's the difference between me and some people. Consciously, I mean, I'm so aware of this stuff, and it's so crowded. There's so much traffic. There's so much, sometimes, noise. It's not all noise. But, you know, when you get a whole bunch of things together, it's noise. But it comes so rapidly. You know what it's like? No, you don't. Tell us what it's like. If you ever seen a picture of or a cartoon, a graphic, an illustration of a black hole. Now, I heard this fact once and just knocked me out. I didn't put a stop to all the thoughts, because every time I hear this, just like I started the show, every time I hear a fact, I haven't even told you that, I haven't even gotten to that yet, but every time I hear a fact, every time I hear a lie or a truth, it ignites something and then spit, and then tons of things, and I'm using the word tons, I don't even know if I should use the word tons, go pouring out of me. So there's a picture, it's an illustration, it's a graphic of a black hole, and on the other side, because apparently there's two sides of a black hole, and there's, although in outer space, I don't know, which one is the front and which one is the back? Does anybody know? I don't know how you tell the front from the back. It's according to which way you're going towards the black hole. This is what was told to me. We'll have to ask Dr. Woldar or someone else, or Skylar or someone else in the future about this. In the back, what is considered the tail, it's spitting out universes. Now think about this for a second. It's spitting out universes. Not just planets, not stones, not asteroids. The concept of size here is just outrageous. It's spitting out universes. There's no counting this stuff. There's nobody there to count it anyway. But this unmeasurable number of matter, these pieces of matter, well, that's what it's like. So with me, so once when I was in school, I didn't realize that I have to go within the flow. You know what it's like? It's like traffic. You're driving in traffic, and the speed limit is 55. But everybody around you is doing 65 and 70. It becomes dangerous for you to do 55 because you're not with the flow of the traffic. You're now doing the correct thing. You're going the amount of speed you're supposed to go by law. And yet, you can cause a big accident because everyone else is going 10 to 15 miles faster. What I had to eventually realize, and this is a realization, maybe it came from an epiphany, I don't know, but what I had to realize was that I had to keep up with this in order to stay cognizant, in order to be conscious, in order to be alert and aware. Otherwise, I spin in place, which is what most people do in their normal state. So my rationalization was, if I'm moving with my mind, I'm moving. I'm moving forward. And once, when I was riddled with anxiety, I had anxiety attacks and things, A doctor told me, the greatest doctor on earth, too, and I'm going to tell you his name is Boom Boom Birnbaum. This is Boom Boom Birnbaum. God rest his soul, if there is a God and there is a soul. He was a rock doc, a very famous rock doc. You can look him up, Milton Birnbaum. I'm sure you'll find him when you Google. If you get your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook and write these down, you will later on find. He told me, he said, anxiety. You have anxiety attacks. Anxiety. Listen to this. Anxiety is movement, and movement is life. So all it means is you're alive. You're aware. You're this fear you have just shows you that you're alive. Anxiety is movement. Movement is life. You don't move, you're dead. So as opposed to being anxious or having the thoughts, the feelings, the fear, the everything going on and pushing me down, even though it might take me to destruction, I said, I'm going with it. I'll go with it. Why do I have to stop? See, they taught me incorrectly from the beginning in school. I should have been in the special education unit. I don't mean, you know, that I was mentally I was mentally challenged. I was mentally challenged. That is a challenge that happens in my head, in my brain. That's mentally challenged. In that respect, I was mentally challenged. They could, what they did was they fought it. They tried to slow me down. They tried to put reins on me and pull me back. That's only something that made me, that was only something that made me move, fight more strongly to keep up with it. So they see they were wrong. They taught everybody's got to sit back and you got to sit back and relax, and you've got to take your mind off of, you know, if you look, you're in total control of everything. So take your mind off of this. It's like when somebody says, you don't feel good, have positive thoughts. Put positive thoughts in your head. It's like, yeah, I mean, let's face it. I'm going to fight not feeling, I'm going to fight feeling bad with positive thought. How is that going to work? And that gives power to the negative, because because the negative is going to run out. It's just going to run out, and eventually you're going to find something that it's going to run out. Either going to kill you or it's going to run out. Well, that's the whole thing about the anxiety, and that's how I got rid of it. I said, okay, let's go with it. Let's not fight it. Fighting the anxiety causes anxiety attacks. I'm not a doctor. I'm just telling you what great doctors told me. Dr. Boom Boom Birnbaum opened up my eyes. And eventually I got into the rhythm, the syncopation of the tempo of how my mind worked. So with the good came the bad, and everything just flowed. It flowed down like a river. You know, after a, let's say a house, we're going to say it together. Ready? A house. Let's say a house has everything you need in it, and it blows up right near a river that's flowing, because all rivers flow. Now, the stuff goes into the river. So imagine a river that's flowing with all the stuff you need in it flowing along. See, it's not stationary anymore. It's moving. And you're there in the river, because everybody's in the river, just moving along. You think you're going, you think you're stopping somewhere. You're not. You're moving along. Everything's going along. But now you got to swim toward what you need, because everything you need was in the house. Everything that was in the house is now in the river. So you grab it. All of this is the explanation to what happened to me when I heard today that an actor named Robert England, not England, England. I heard it on one of these afternoon zoo shows. They have afternoon zoo on radio, on brick and mortar radio now. Afternoon zoo shows. And the afternoon zoo show, I heard this. They said, today is Robert England's birthday. He's 66. I mean, Robert Englund is 66. This is how my mind was working. While, by the way, I'm driving. So I'm going with the flow of the traffic. I'm in this physical movement thing, and now this mental movement thing is going on. So they were actually asking, you know, they asked people to call in. They were going to give a prize. Does anybody know Robert Englund? Who is Robert Englund? L-U-N-G, Englund. They said, Who is he? And people calling up. They were going to give a gift or something because they figured maybe a lot of people didn't know him by him. They only knew him. If they knew him, they knew what he was famous for playing. Robert Englund, 66 on this Y2K plus 13, the day that we're doing this live. Let's slate it. June 6th, which I believe is also the anniversary of D-Day. See how that works? In my head, I'm going with it. Robert Englund, 66. On this day, what came to my mind was meeting Robert Englund before, well before he was known as anything except Robert Englund, and most people didn't know him then as Robert Englund because he was an actor. But he was on the precipice of making movie history, on the precipice of making movie history. That's when I met him. Now, I don't remember, I don't have the dates. I could go look this up, or it's going to flow through, but it's probably just going to fly by. Like, it's what it did. It flew by, and I actually had to write something down because I said, let me write this down because this is the whole idea of what happens here, especially is significantly, precisely when I do a solo show. The essence of Cotolo Chronicles, this is the brand. And this is not about me, per se, because you have your own tempo. Okay, so Robert Englund is 60. So I immediately know, and you probably know by now, too, if you didn't look it up on your iPhone, your iPad, or your Google search or watch or anything or whatever, you suddenly know he is the actor who played Freddy Krueger in the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Nightmare on Elm Street 1, Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, however many, I don't even know. But he was at this press docket. Now that to me, I say that and I immediately go back to that room and all the images and the things that just rat-a-tat-tat through my head, my memory, that door's open and here comes that. This is why I think it would be extremely bad for me if dementia set in. Because these rooms would all open up and nothing would match. Nothing would stay in any kind of order. Because there is an order to this. It's a syncopation to this rhythm. But apparently from what I've read with studies and things I've read, an active mind is a mind that wards off dementia. So maybe we don't have to worry about that. I don't know. Robert Englund was so excited that day. And that's what I remembered. A young Robert Englund, by at least half, if not, no, maybe half as old as he celebrated years and years on this day. Young Robert Englund, incredibly excited at this press docket because he was out there promoting this movie he had just made that had not been released, Nightmare on Elm Street. And I remember, what I remember Robert Englund was this excitement. He had a sense, and I don't know, I can't speak for him, his sense that, you know, I'm in this great movie, I'm promoting it. He didn't know, nobody knew if it would even be a hit or if it was just going to wind up on the shelf somewhere or go into drive-in theaters and be this grade C movie. He had no idea. He was a part of a franchise, but he must have had a feeling that he was doing something that was going to propel him into the industry more deeply and maybe just make a mark. And this is winds up to be the mark he made. Although he's done some other performances and some of them have been fine. That's it. Okay. Robert Englund became this character and that was it. That's his place in movie history. Period. Bingo. But I remember the young Robert England so excited that he played this part, that he was the star of this movie. And I went right back to that moment. And I think what's great about that moment was that thrill that a person can have. He's going with that incredible feeling. He didn't have to work up any fake, oh, the sun is shining and I'm alive in the morning and it's great. Yeah, okay, that's all great, you know, but there's a certain amount we accept. And it just doesn't always, rationalization doesn't always work. Rationalization is a placebo. And that's what the, is positive thinking, forced positive thinking is. It's a placebo. It just covers up this junk. It's not, because it doesn't do anything. It doesn't cure. Just like a placebo doesn't cure. But if you think it does, I don't know, maybe it does. Maybe that's the key. You know, you're tricking yourself. But I wasn't tricking myself. But I remember Robert England, who, and also the other thing that came to mind that was along the string of, the string of the other billion things, that the other universes that shot out of this black hole thought that was ignited at that particular moment, was that I didn't know Robert was older than me. Now that just reminded me that next week is a Savino Cotolo Chronicles, and we're going to be talking about something extremely serious, which is, of course, going to turn into something extremely funny, because we can only talk serious to a certain extent, and everything that we find serious, we just extract all the humor from it. Extract, yes. We know we don't. We focus upon that. Anyway, the stream of that consciousness happens right here at Cotolo Chronicles next time, June 13th. We're going to have Dr. Karen Wyatt on again one of these weeks. She talked about a project she had going, and we're going to get into that project and the product that she has created. Okay, so Robert England, I'll always remember Robert England for being incredibly excited. And then, you know, the other thing is that, like I said, the universe, and out of the universe of those, the universes that were spit out of that black hole that I'm calling my consciousness at that same time was everything else that happened that day and I'm just calling it a junket, a docket. What did I call it? A press docket, a press junket? It took me 10 minutes to figure out conductor.
Bored?
How are you feeling? Are you excited? Bored? And, so that's what I mean. But I find that if I stay with the pace, then I'm okay. I'm okay, no matter where it takes me. And that's pretty much that's mastering the Zen moment. That does not mean, living with nirvana in incredible peace and harmony. That doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Don't try it. I'm not going to mention that. I'm not going to start spitting out names either of these people who I despise because they try to fool everybody into. I will mention Peter Popoff, though, because the other night I'm watching Peter Popoff. The other night, it's morning, it's 4:30, and Peter Popoff is on again with his wife saying things like, and I hear his voice. You know, saying things like, what? Somebody out there right now needs money. Oh, there's a stretch. Hey, what? Somebody, he's looking into the camera. And then, like, isn't that like 20,000 people going to go, yeah, that's me. Peter Popoff has that voice. Somebody out there, I'm excited about this. Somebody out there needs money to pay a bill.
It's like somebody out there is hungry. Bingo. Okay, that's somebody out there is hungry. Somebody out there is sitting down. Okay, but these obvious things. I mean, say Peter Popoff, because he's terrific. And of course, I mean, he's terrific. I mean, I can watch him and laugh. I don't see him in an arena of 50,000 people, like some people I'm not going to mention who might do some good, but just have no grasp on reality, which includes every side of these thoughts. But anyway, that's what happened with Robert Englund. And I want to say this, happy birthday, Robert Englund, wherever you are now. See, I didn't want to end with R. Wherever you are now, Robert Englund. I want to now also give you an update. I told you a number of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago when this started, I was talking about Rick Busby, who is unfortunately still fighting for his life in a hotel. See what happens with my head? Because another thought of hotel is in my head, and it's fine. In a hospital nearby to where I am right now. And we want to wish him the best and thank everybody who went to Rick Busby at Facebook. I know you can't go on there. You know, I said to people, go there, leave a note or something, and then you can't write on people's walls if you're not their friends, or if you don't buy Facebook hats or something. But there is thanks that I'm giving to all of you who mentioned anything about Rick, who is still hanging in there. I did go to see him. That was reported on Facebook, too. I want to thank Chris and Beth Malpass, who have been doing a great job, and continued good hope, well-being to Barbara Busby, Rick's wife. And we hope to see Rick again, perhaps at the hospital, perhaps at home, or what have you, as it takes its course. In that respect, not that this is self-serving, here is Rick selling my book.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo now on Amazon for your Kindle.
So it is. Stop. It is. It is. No, of course, it's just me, and I've got, you know, to do all this stuff together, and I have my various little glitches, like what's going on right now. It's always strange, or maybe it's too common, to visit somebody in hospital. It's funny how they say that. They never say in a hospital in England. When I was living in England, I was always, you gotta learn things like that. He's in hospital. He's in hospital. Not in a hospital. He's in hospital. It's taking the word, which is a noun, and making it into some kind of a verb, as if you're in hospital, you're obviously ill and being tended to, hopefully. To visit somebody who can hear you. Now, Rick is not in a coma. I have had unfortunate experience of being in the room with somebody in a coma. My mother, to be exact. Like that, to be exact. why did I say to somebody if I wasn't going to say exactly who that person? Because I'm trying to think, because as the universe is a spit out of my black hole of mind, I'm thinking, like, were there others? Yeah, I think there were here and there, but obviously the one that sticks with me the most is my mother. But Rick is not in a coma, but he's so medicated that he doesn't respond like you would if you were not medicated, I guess, is what we're saying, because he has to bear the pain and the wire and the fluid and the things running through him and the chemical and physiological attempts, medicine, chemical reactions or whatever, you know, to being that ill. I know that feeling too. I have been in ICU myself, though I was never in a coma. Although I was once, see how that went? I was once completely out of my mind walking around and aware and awake. The universe has gone wrong. That has to do with the blood. That's why everything in the blood is important, man. What's in the blood? You keep your blood clean, you'll be fine. Even though something can happen to you, but I mean, that's the idea. And the blood goes, you're gone. But it's always odd, yet too common to, like I said, be talking to somebody who you know is responding, can hear you, is what I'm saying, and yet they can't respond as they would normally, as you are accustomed to, as they are accustomed to. I know this from my mom, because my mom had a violent reaction in a coma to trying to respond to me. And the will that goes on in there, that the way you know people try to speak. But they say you can hear everything. And I don't really know how they do that. I mean, do people who are in comas come back and say, I heard everything? I heard everything. How do they know? It's like knowing what a dog thinks. You look at a dog, suddenly puts his head up, or her head up. I got an androgynous dog now. His or her, it doesn't matter. The dog puts his head up. Oh, he thinks. My father used to do that with my dog. My dog was a girl, so we could say she. We don't have to say androgynously. The dog, beautiful dog. She suddenly just wake up. Well, she was quiet. I mean, maybe she wasn't sleeping, but I mean, she was sitting still. Suddenly looks up, looks around. Maybe goes, something like that. You know, my father goes, look, she thinks she's going out. Who's my father? The dog whisperer. Okay. What do you mean? How do you know? She thinks she's going out. She got up. She's got to go out. Oh, she's got to go out. You're sensing that she has to go out to do her business. Or are you telling me that this action she made is signaling to you that she's got to go, she wants to go out? Is that what you're saying? How do we know what the dog is thinking? And the dog, of course, doesn't speak in a language that we know with verbs and things and stuff. So the dog is thinking in pictures. Maybe the dog had an entirely different picture in her head at that point and woke up. She suddenly thought of a rabbit that was running across a field. And she was like, I want to get that thing. I saw a rabbit. I would go after that rabbit if I... Maybe that's what the dog was saying. So there's a female dog. Is she supposed to go, I want to get after that. I would go after that. I don't know. Whatever the case may be. So we don't know. So I don't know how people know that people... How doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs... Are there still Indian chiefs? Can't call them Indians anymore. Native American chiefs. How do we know, how does anybody know that the coma patient is hearing? How do we know? Is it from responses? How do we know if they make a response that they're not responding to something we don't even know what they're thinking or what's going through their head or their subconscious or unconscious? I don't know. Do you know? How do we know this? Should I be reading more? Should I be looking these things up? Every day, and this thought is going to fly by and it's going anywhere. I don't know where it's going. This is why I keep a notebook and write things down. I can't write everything down, or I would just sit somewhere writing things down constantly, because the thoughts are coming out like universes out of a black spit out. That's what I love about that phrase. Spit out the back of a black hole. Universes spit out. That means it's just bam, poof, poof. Put one after and bing, bong, billions and trillions, and I don't even know what comes after gazillions and trigillions and patillions, but I don't know what happens. Why don't I know these things? Perhaps there is something, and this is another thing. What you know is not necessarily what you know is not necessarily said again like I just did. Too many people I know grew up with these people. They know things, and that's it. That's it. That's all I know. That's it. How do you know that? How do you know there's not this and that? And in the flow of my thoughts, in the flow of my brain, I always stop and I go like, how do you know that? And even if they say, well, I read it, there's no backing up. See, this is what I mean. I mean, I grew up, and I don't think that's so uncommon, even though I grew up in a land, in a world, where people know everything. Everybody knows everything. Well, if everybody knew everything and it was all correct, wouldn't they all agree? And yet, they don't agree. But they act like they know this is it. So I grow up in this world where everybody knows everything, but they know it. I know this to be true, and all the things are different. How is that possible? And I sit there and I go, how is that possible? So when somebody says to me, I know that. I go, how do you know? And it's amazing how some people don't ask themselves questions like that. I don't get that. How do you know? I just know. I just know. Or I read it somewhere. Where'd you read it? Then you start asking, what is this, a trial? What is this, an interview? Don't you love that? I used to love that. When you ask people questions, they go, what is this, an interview? Yeah, it kind of is an interview, all right? Just tell them that when they say that. Yeah, I'm asking questions because I'd like to know what you think and feel, and I'd like you to verify what you just said. Yes, if that's an interview to you, then this is an interview. What are you doing? And then the other one, what are you doing, writing a book? And, what a flattering thing. You're talking to somebody, asking questions. You want to know stuff, and they go, what are you doing, writing a book? And it's like, it's so flattering. Don't flatter yourself. Not only am I not writing a book, I'm not writing a book about you. Why on earth would I write a book about you? Who are you? Oh, there's another question. What is this, an interview? I'm astounded even at this. And I'd say late, even though I'm not late, Francatolo, yet, but even this late in my life, astounded how people sit on these beliefs and these things they know. I don't even know if the sky is blue per se. Someone told me the sky appears blue. I'm going, wow, we're going to question that too. And somebody else says, don't question all these things. It'll drive you nuts. It's going to drive me nuts. So in other words, I'm supposed to lie. That'll make me feel better. Well, that's great. These are the same people who tell you the truth. We'll set you free, but lie so that you feel better. Imagine if that was the phrase, the truth will set you free, but lie when you can, because it's just the right thing to do to make you feel better. We all want to feel better, but sometimes we can't. What is so great about vomiting? This is the old tale. The man hits his head against the wall. He's hitting his head against the wall. Someone comes up and goes, why are you hitting yourself, your head, against the wall? And he says, because it feels so good when I stop. After the violent reaction that your body performs when you puke, reversed peristalsis, as I remember it being called. You see that? Came out of my, spit out of my head. Okay, and so when that happened, reversed peristalsis, here it comes, and it's all... Because that's the wrong way. See, gravity means you're supposed to digest, supposed to go down into your body. Down is relative, of course, but we're looking at it in our own perspective. And then digest and blah, blah, blah. And then it's supposed to come further down and, you dispose of your bodily wastes. But if something goes wrong, it comes up. And in all sorts of shapes and colors and different, I know, it's disgusting. It comes up. And it's a horrible feeling. This is a terrible feeling. The most dangerous thing you can do is to fight it because, you know, people have died swallowing their own vomit. Oh, you know that for sure, Frank? Do I know that for sure? Well, maybe that's a legend too. Maybe nobody ever died swallowing their own vomit while they were, maybe no one ever died trying to ear reverse the reversed peristalsis. Perhaps that's true. I don't know. But the best thing to do, of course, is for it to happen. What am I getting at? I'm getting at this. What is great about vomiting is that when it's over, when the nausea ends, and everything that had to come up came up. And it's funny, too, because it comes up, and what does it do? It goes down, because it goes down the bowl, or wherever. Heavens, you should do it in a place, and I know, because I have, too. What happens is, and this has got to be, you may agree or not agree with me. But I remember many times, thank goodness, I have not vomited. I don't even keep track of this. I've not vomited in years. Years! It's been years. And the last time I did, it was very serious because it had to do with an illness, the very illness that put me in the ICU, but I was not in a coma. So, although I did lose some kind of consciousness at one point, I was consciously walking around, but I was not alert and unconscious, and I thought I was someone else. What is that? It's been out universes. It's been out the wrong universes. I wonder if our black hole goes, no, wait, bring those back. Those are the wrong ones. Okay, so here's the point. The point is, there is this feeling of relief. There is this feeling that is equal in greatness to the horrible feeling that you have when you're going to vomit. After vomiting, you feel wonderful. It's wonderful. See, marvelous. So vomiting does do. See, immediately a song comes to my head. And so I sing it. It's wonderful. Softly nice. And I love to feel that feeling. But it's not worth it. I don't want to get nauseous just to feel that feeling. That's for sure. You know, in the old days when people wanted to eat more, when they did the vomiting thing, they stick their fingers down their throat and vomit, eat all the food because it tasted great, and then put your finger down your throat, and they would provoke reversed peristalsis. Provoking. They were PRPs. They were provoking reversed paralysis or something. And when they did this, so that then they would feel great, and they would feel empty, and they'd eat more. You couldn't eat more if you didn't feel great. You feel great after you vomit. The great thing about vomiting is feeling better after. Not just better. It is a wonderful feeling. It is a terrific feeling. Think about it. I only pointing these things out because they're coming to my head. I am in when I do this show and alone. Now, when I do it with a guest, I have to keep up with my rhythm and the same time converse. I have to do that not just when I have a guest. I have to do that in life, you know, because I have to talk to people. I can't just, you know, but in the meantime, you spend an awful, when you spend a very much, is that, see, I'm correcting myself. When you spend much time with yourself being alone, then obviously it's, the flow is greater. Well, no, it's not greater, but it's, you're with, that's all you have. You don't have any way to, although, like I said, I got into trouble in school because I was trying not to keep up with it. And that's why when I was called upon by a teacher, I was way off. You know, I hated to be called upon because I knew I didn't know the answer. Not only did I know I didn't know the answer, I knew that I probably knew the answer before and forgot it by now because it had moved even faster. Are you keeping up with me? Write this down. You listen to Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adores the title of this show. The man, the captain, the bard of broadcasting. I am the pilot that takes this plane wherever it may go. We shall be back shortly. Go replenish your precious bodily fluids with stuff. Do it. We'll be back.
Cotolo Chronicles. The internet talk show from the Neo-Postmodern world.
For Rad. We see a lot of things at gigs, mostly people having a good time and having a few drinks. But what we'd hate to see is someone getting behind the wheel after they've been drinking. Being even a little bit over the limit makes it too easy to lose control and possibly lose your life or that of a friend. So if you plan to drink, plan ahead. Arrange a designated driver who won't drink or stay the night at a friend's place. Remember, music lives and you should too.
A public service message brought to you by Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey girls, we know what's hot. When a guy respects a girl enough to ask and doesn't just try to make a move on us. We don't want to be pushed, pressured, or persuaded to have sex. We can make up our own minds. And when we say no, we mean no. Not maybe or I need to be convinced more. It doesn't matter what we're wearing, what we've done in the past, or whether or not we said yes then changed our mind. It's hot when guys respect our decision. If they don't and try to force groping or sex, it's illegal. That's right. Groping or sex without our permission is illegal. And any guy who tries to get away with it can get arrested for sexual assault. And that's on his record permanently. Hey, real men respect. And respect is hot.
Respect!
For information about sexual assault, log on to WCASA.org. That's WCASA.org. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault, the Wisconsin Department of Health and Family Services, and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
This is Chicago-style hot dog here. I'm not feeling too good. Turns out, along with all the other bad things my cholesterol does, they say it's a risk factor for strokes. Strokes? Sheesh. Good news from National Stroke Association. Exercising, eating right, and asking your doctor about medicines that can help lower your cholesterol, like statins, may reduce the risk of a first stroke. And if you've already had a stroke, it's even more important you lower your cholesterol.
Lower your chances of stroke by controlling your cholesterol. Visit stroke.org today.
I want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seatbelts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next, because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer, and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice. That's radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news. It's radio, the people choose. Everybody's swinging to the swinging voice. That's radio, the people's choice. Big fry, small fry, gone to dawn. It's radio, it turns them on. Swinging, singing. A million sounds you want to hear. It's a landslide every year. Everybody's dialing in the smiling voice of radio, the people's choice. East Coast, West Coast, in between, it's radio that makes our scene.
radio that makes the scene. There's nothing wrong with your mobile device or your computer. We control the bit rate. We control the sound cards. We can make it louder or softer. We can shrink your browser or browse your shrinker. You are listening to Cotolo Chronicles. Cotolo as he chronicles. That's me. I talk and talk and talk, and talk is what you need. Wake up, it's night! Right here, Y2K plus 13. The new millennium. And as we talk and continue to talk about the things that we're talking about right here, the universe. Actually, we weren't talking at all about the universe. We were talking about thinking about talking. All right. Da-da-da! I remember so much and about so little that it drives me out of my mind sometimes. And no, I never get out of my mind, actually. I shouldn't say that. It drives me out of my mind. Here's the deal, or certainly one of the deals. That is, you will be here next week, if you are here next week, which is the 13th of June. Wow, we're going through June. We've already had one heat wave. Oh, yeah, really? Why is that? It's June, that's why. It's like, why ask? Well, if you're listening in, I know, if you're listening in down under, if you're listening over in Australia, it's not. It's June. They have an entirely different concept, because here comes winter. It's June, so I get, go, get out. I'm going to do a horrible Aussie accent now. Yeah, take out the, I don't know why I can't do Aussie, because there's a lot I can't do when it comes to the voice things. Some guys, actors, actresses, too, can do any dialect. Is that what it is? No, accent. Not dialect or accent. What's the difference? I don't know. I know there are people. I grew up with people who know. I'll tell you what that's. What is this? An interview? they're asking for sweaters and warm underwear and long johns in down under, which would be, of course, Australia. As we know, it's Australasia, which would be Australia, New Zealand, and Tasmania. Certainly, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest names for a place ever. Tasmania. It says so much in the sound. Tasmania. Which is amazing that there would be, you know what, there would, you know, the New Zealand, Australia, Tasmania. Doesn't even seem to fit. I'm afraid he has a severe case of Tasmania. Sound, right? Because it sounds like a condition. He has Tasmania. Yes, I'm keeping up with it as we move along. You know, if you stop for a second or a minute, however long it is for you to stop, you can get the rhythm of your brain. What movie was that I'm thinking about? Oh, I'm thinking about, and I'm thinking about the movie with John Travolta called Phenomena. And I've mentioned this before because I identified with this part. And without going into detail, if you haven't seen it, write it down, go look for it and whatever. But he's given a great ability to use more of his brain than he ever used before. So he's incredibly smart. And with incredibly smart, and I say that, with the smarter you become, the more you are in tune, let's just say, with all these things that Peter Popoff and you know, Joel Osteen, there, I said the name, and even my pal, Robert Tilton, all these people are trying to sell you. And so you become in tune. You go above that. You go above it, see? Those are for people not in tune. You go above it. And in this movie, there's a point where his character, John Travolta's character, is looking out at a tree. And the tree is, and the leaves and the branches of the tree are moving because it's windy. And someone says, what are you doing? You know, what are you thinking? What are you doing? He says, I'm nothing. I'm getting my pace. Being in touch with the elements to the extent where I'm getting my pace. As the wind blows, that's the sound. That's the syncopation. I'm not smart enough for that yet. And I don't know if I'm ever going to use that much of my brain to get to that point, but I identify with that fact because he stopped to get his pace from everything around him. Now that sounds like a new age, dictum. Now dictum's the wrong word. See, I lost it in my vocabulary. It sounds like a new age, I don't want to say, it's not a quotient. A quotient is the answer to a divisional problem. And I'm having, not the problem I'm having right now. It sounds like a new age, let's just say saying, I'm sorry. Saying, I got to use that. I hate when I can't find the best word. It sounds new age. Like he's in hospital. Let's take out A. Let's not make it into a noun. Although everything is a noun. Let's not do that. It sounds new age to say that, but it's a specific element of being that smart. If you've never seen the movie Defending Your Life, I'm going to bring this up again, and everybody knows who's listened to this over and over again. You know, I do apologize to many of you who have listened to this over and over again and hear things again that I've said. I try to bring them up in different areas and topics, but I only can go with what's going in my head. And there are repeat things. You know, I didn't mean to say that I always have fresh, wonderful stuff flowing through the universe is being spit out of this black hole are all new and fresh and wonderful. They're not. There's a regurgitation. There's a reversed paralysis of stuff. I vomit incredibly familiar, similar thoughts, ideas, feelings, because I'm only human. I mean, I'm not telling you that I'm so developed. Oh, I mean, if anything, I'm overdeveloped. I'm overcooked. Same over. Now the over words come in. What did I just? I'm over done. Overdone. How could you be overdone? Something is done. If it's done, there's a conclusion to it. What done means. So it's done, there's a conclusion to it being, it's done. This is done. And then last time we used done for ready, gourmet cooks do that. Hey, regular cooks do that. Now you don't even have to be a gourmet cook. It's done. You go, it's done. It's done. It would be done would be the conclusion, the result of something. Don't, now to take it off in the area of cooking, say take it off the burner, or it'll get overdone. Overdone? It'll be more than done? How could it be more than done? He's done. You don't say that when we put it into the context of life. We don't say, let's say a squirrel, because this week I was looking for it. I wasn't looking for it. I saw that a squirrel had died and was laying somehow. Maybe it fell from a tree. And I didn't think squirrels could die if they fell from trees, by the way. I didn't think so. I didn't think so. The way they jump around and everything, how could they die from a tree? What did they do? They fell wrong. Can you fall right? Yes, you fall right if you're all right. There's something you can use again. I mean, you can take any of this stuff and use it. I don't care. You know, you don't have to give me credit. So I see the squirrel there, and the squirrel is, his life is done. There's no more life. His life is done. Now, we would never say the next day you go there, and the next week, if no one moves the body, it is decomposing, because that's what it's going to do. Now it's in that mode. It's decomposing. The more life, it doesn't have to continue to grow. It has to continue to disintegrate. And we don't say, look at that overdone body. That body's overdone. Have you been replenishing your precious bodily fluids? I have. I have, although I don't know if it's right to not include just water. Like if you were just, you can't, I don't think you replenish your precious bodily fluids with alcohol. Although everything is water, every liquid is water that tastes like something else, unless it's water, because it's all liquid, it's got a liquid base. But at the same time, you can't always drink the same thing and be expected that it will do for you what water would do, because it doesn't. It has other elements in it. So you gotta have water also. Even though there's water in food too. You know, someone said to me, and how do I know this? How did they know this? Well, you know, if a doctor tells me something, I say, well, look, you've studied, you've been through this enough to know, and I can believe what you're saying, or I could take it to the bank, to use the phrase. Not like somebody, you know, where I grew up. I know this, you know that, I know this, this is right. So you could listen. So the doctor said, you don't have to drink 8 glasses of water a day. Someone said, you know, drink 8 glasses of water. And, you know, when I had kidney problems, I used to drink incredible amounts of water, just water every day. Water, forget about 8, I'd have 16, 25, 36, 29, hike. See, I do numbers like that, and I think of that, and I don't even like football anymore. But it's in my head. And the water, so you could continually flush your system. But if I did that, and I used, let's say I was doing it with whiskey, I would, of course, not replenish my precious bodily fluids. Although I'd still have to go to the bathroom, because there's water in the alcohol. If you replenish your precious bodily fluids as you can here, you should do that. Stay liquid. Dehydration is the enemy. Get your pace. You may have to get your pace. See, I got my pace. I don't have to look at the wind. Because if the general acceleration of the parade of thoughts that I was talking about from the beginning, if that decides to get slower for a second. See, I didn't say slow up, or because I don't know whether to say slow up or slow down. What do you say? When do you use slow up and when do you use slow down? Because up and down are two different things. I'm going to slow up or I'm going to slow down. I don't know. And yet, someone might say to me, well, here's what you do. I'm always hearing those voices. Isn't it horrible? You know, and I think it is horrible too. Except I know that's those voices, so it doesn't, you know, really have a tremendous effect on me. A tremendous effect. Tremendous, which means big, tremendous effect. Well, you know, they used to use that word in New York to mean more than just large, as it did. It's like the difference between further and farther. They'd say tremendous. When actually tremendous relates to structure in a sense, not just to a lot. It means something that's very big. It would have a structure. What a tremendous building. Big, not great, just big. It's tremendous. It's bigger than giant. It's more giant. It's more gianter than it's tremendous. I can look it up and give you the exact one. We could go, let's do it. Okay, you asked for it. We got to go into this. We're going to go into the, where are we going? Into our official Webster's New American Dictionary. Is anything but new anymore? It's old. It's as almost as old as Robert Englund and I. But we're going to go into this American Webster's New American Dictionary here on Cotolo Chronicles. Well, my name is Frank Cotolo, my name is the entire show. And we're going to look up the word tremendous. I don't know why this became such a popular word for big, gigantic. They didn't use synonyms in New York. Everything was that's tremendous. It does have a great rhyme sound to it, though. It sounds almost, not almost, it sounds exactly, well, it would have to be almost, because in ancient Rome, you know, and we're looking at seven wonders of the world, you know, when we're, no, that would be after. They didn't know it was a wonder of the world when they did it, but you look at the Colosseum and the, they knew it was tremendous, but they didn't use the language. They were speaking Latin or something. They weren't speaking like Marlon Brando was in the movie Julius Caesar, or like Russell Crowe and all the characters in the movie Gladiator. They did not have British accents in ancient Rome. Let's get that straight. Right. But the word tremendous, which you're now looking up in this particular, and you know why I like this, why I love it. I don't just like it. It's more than like I love this book. Now, and it's starting to yellow. The pages are starting to yellow. It's not starting to yellow. It still has a red cover, which is held together by duct tape. Duct tape. Now, when I was a kid, I thought it was duct tape. My father said, go get the duct tape. Why is it called duct tape? Even then I was asking questions. Why, do ducks use tape? Is it made of ducks? Shut up! Get the duct tape! Because he didn't say duct. And he was a laborer. Duct tape. Why don't you say duct tape? You know why? Because he knows what the dog is thinking. Tremendous. T-R-E-M. But tremendous. 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 Wasn't that great? They would even correct you. You would tell somebody... You would say something to somebody, you would say, and I don't know what we're talking about, an event, something you saw on television, something. Isn't that great? Great. It's tremendous. Which is not, I don't think is meant to be used that way, because tremendous has to do with solid size. And yet it was used, and I don't know who started that. Was it the Dutch? When they were in New Amsterdam, because that's Brooklyn, you know, is Dutch. It's more Dutch than anything else. These days, you know, you look back at these movies and you see Goodfellas and you see Godfellas and Goodfathers, and you think, and you look back at that and you think it's like, oh, this is all Italian. Or, you know, or you look in another sense and you see the Jewish thing, they say, oh, this is all Jewish. New York's all Jewish. It's not, you know, it was Dutch. Dutch. New Amsterdam, Dutch. And nobody talks about the Dutch anymore. Nobody says, and yet so many of the names of streets. Namesa? Namesa streets. That's it. That's New York. Namesa. The Namesa. Can you give me the names of the people who live in your neighborhood, on your block? You want the names of them? I want the Namesa. Can't look that word up because it would. Let's go back to tremendous. T-R-E-L, trellis, trefoil. Here's words they never would use. Here it is now. I got it. Tremendous. Now, I learn things too. I think I know things and I say things, but this is why we look them up. I don't even believe or stick with things I know. That's why I am not one. You could say I'm a lot of things. I don't care what you say. Am I? You could say I'm a lot of things. You could call me names. You could use accolades for things I do. You could use curse words. But I am not a know-it-all. I'm a know-nothing. Is that the opposite of a know-it-all? I'm a know-nothing. Because I know, I admit I know nothing. In the terms of using the word no, I'm not like you. I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. You know, when I do things, they go, hey, well, you really know how to do that. And I mean, I guess I do, although there's still a billion things I don't know about it. I'm never going to be happy that I know one thing or exactly how it goes or exactly what it is because it doesn't comfort me. I don't do it. I don't lie about it to myself. So I'm not a person who says, the truth will set you free, but lie because that'll make you feel better. Tremendous. Here is what it says about the word tremendous. An adjective. Terrifying. Terrifying. Wow. No one. What I should do is go right to dictionary.com and see what it says up there. Let's do that. Let's look at what the definition is here in 1960 when Robert Englund and I were much younger. Terrifying. Causing astonishment by reason of great size or force. Okay, size. There's what I was talking about. Size. Force. I did not acknowledge force. That's what I was saying. Tremendous as in power. Tremendous as in strength. A lot. Weight. Measure. But here it does. It says if you can use it, causing astonishment. But that's the deal of what it, because it's so big, because it's so forceful, it terrifies you. That is something I would never have said, even though I said I think I would. That's why I said I think I know tremendous, and yet I don't. Terrifying. Yes, by reason of great size or force. And here is the example given at the end of this definition. A tremendous crash, a tremendous black cloud. So here, if you're saying, that by this definition, and I'm going to look up now as we talk, we're going to go, we are online and we got a browser open. We're going to look and see if over the years, because if you go to dictionary.com where they even pronounce the word, that's we're going to do that. You are going to get a more contemporary, because, I mean, things do change. You know, hey, let's open another, in case we want, let's open another tab. Here we go. Things do change as the language changes through the decades, and yet it will be fascinating. I'm already fascinated, and that's why is it search dictionary. Okay, we're going to put in this word. I love this word too. Tremendous tray. Isn't that funny? The tray, as if it's three, but it's not. There's here we go. Let's look it up. Search for this word. It's now searching for tremendous. Tremendous definition. Here we go. Now look at what this says. This says more of what I was talking about, and yet it's not, it wouldn't be that traditional because the one that I gave you from the Oxford would be traditional. Number one is an adjective, extraordinarily great in size. Oh no, I'm right. I'm wrong, I mean. I'm right, I'm wrong. I mean, I'm wrong. I'm right. I'm either wrong or right. No, I am wrong. It says tremendous, either great in size, amount, or intensity. Now, it doesn't say anything. Now, the third, in this, in this definition.
Tremendous.
Thank you. In this, in this definition of the word, I think you just heard him say
it. Tremendous.
Thank you. In this definition, terrifying is the third of the three definitions. Now, I don't know about intensity when it comes to definitions. Is it first, second, or third in an order, or is it, it's not supposed to be in order. They're just listing it, and they're telling you different ways to use it, but each one is right. If you say the word,
tremendous,
that's the one. And yes. I love the voice. How come the voice is not, how come it's not a woman? Isn't it sometimes a woman? Because the voice that does this is
tremendous.
It is. It's not terrifying. It's beautiful. It's big. That's a big voice. It's not just a big voice. So they would, so there you go. Now, here are the related forms. You take the word tremendous. Tremendously is an adverb. Tremendousness. There's a word, tremendousness. The noun. The tremendousness of this accomplishment. This, you would use a, the tremendousness. And then, of course, if it's not tremendous, it's untremendous. So you can un it. You can't un every word. That's dignified. That's undignified. Or is it indignified? Huh? What's the un and the in? No one, let's face it. Have you ever heard anyone? Have you ever read in any book? Have you ever heard in a movie or a speech of any sort, written or off the cuff, somebody say, the untremendousness in this room is just eating me alive. The untremendousness. To hear someone use the word untremendous would be...
tremendous.
Absolutely. It would just drive me... if I heard somebody say untremendousness before I knew that untremendousness was a noun, that you could untremendous as the case may be, and the cat is the case, as is the case, not as the case may be. The case may be what? The case may be given, taken. I would say, how could he use a word like that? You can't take the word
tremendous
and make it untremendous in an untremendousness, because the word
tremendous
is just tremendous. It's not, you can't do that. But I'd be wrong if I was going to listen to this. Now, wait a second, because here we go again now. Let's step back for a second and look at this and say, well, wait a second, who puts together dictionary.com? How do we know that dictionary.com can be the tried and true source of knowledge when it comes to these words? You've heard about Wikipedia, which is Wikipedia, and I don't know what to say. I was saying Wikipedia, suddenly it's Wiki, and everybody says Wiki, and there's a Wiki. I was wrong from the beginning because I thought it was Wikipedia. It's Wikipedia. And we know that Wikipedia should not be used, as a single source. No, I'm not going to vomit, but if I did, I would feel great when I was done. Great? Would I feel great after I vomit? Do you feel great or do you feel...
tremendous.
Absolutely. That's how you feel. It all fits. Do you see how it all comes together like a perfect pieces in a perfect puzzle? What's an unperfect puzzle? Can you say unperfect? It's fascinating. This is why I'm so fascinated with language. And I say fascinated, because as I was saying before, that this word was so... could it be overdone? It's overdone. It's done. Or is it overdone? That's an overdone. Don't use that word again. It's over. Don't. And then we say, don't overdo it. So even the word overdone had a present tense, overdo. Don't overdo it. Because if you overdo it, it will be overdone. How does it overdone if it's done? Done is done. Done, end. We're not going to look up the word done. End, over, finish, terminated. I'm the Olamadi Python with the dead bird. Whatever. Can't do it. I'm not going to do it. You know what I'm talking about? If you don't look it up later, write it down. It's funny because they have right here, it says tremendous definition. And that in itself is it's a tremendous definition. It's a definition of tremendous. You can't, this would be a great mantra if you're going to try to meditate. It's a great word. It has flavor. It has meter. It has its own syncopation. In fact, here's something we could do right now. And I'm going to do right now. Let's see if I can do this. See if this works. Let's see if this works. Okay, let me get the other. Let's do this. Let's see if this works. Oh, you can't do. Okay, I can do it. Okay.
Tremendous.
Here we go. Look at this. We've got. There's the. Can I do it again? I don't know where it is. Try to get the word in meter.
Tremendous.
That worked. Okay.
Tremendous.
Yeah, okay. Wait, Leroy Anderson turning over in his grave.
Tremendous.
Try to get it into key.
Tremendous.
Okay. See? It's on.
Tremendous.
Works. Now, this is going to be difficult. Let's get it into the middle. Okay. Here we go.
Tremendous. 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 Tremendous.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Awful.
Tremendous.
Good.
Tremendous. Tremendous.
There you go.
Tremendous. Tremendous.
Perfect. That was perfect.
Tremendous.
Here we go. Let's see if we get this ending now.
Tremendous. Tremendous.
Here we go. Let's take it out with a big. Let's take it out. With, shh. Listen.
Tremendous. Tremendous. Tremendous.
Not bad. That was pretty darn good. Pass the time by using YouTube. And dictionary.com. Just another. Now, I may never do that again in that particular way, but there goes that. My name is Frank Atoll. The man's name adorns the title of the show. And what happened to this here? What is that? No, that's not what I want. I wanted something else. It's gone. It's gone. It left. All right. We'll get it. We'll get it some other time. You can get me on Facebook. I checked the amount of I'm way under the number of friends allowed. You can go be my friend there. Even if we don't have mutual friends, I think it's a real shame that you have to be a friend to somebody. If you want to be a friend to somebody, you see somebody you like their face because it is Facebook. And you say, I'd like to be that person's friend. You can always unfriend them, but they don't let you. If you don't know this person, and that's the voice I hear. If you don't know this person, then don't ask them to be friends, because you can only ask people to be friends who are friends. And then the heck is, would you be my friend? No, I'm already your friend. See? I can't be your friend, because I'm already your friend. I think I once did a show on Leroy Anderson himself. Every time I hear one thing, I think of all the other things. So I'm going to let's look at some of these other things you might know. I don't want to completely do all of them. 37, Blue Tango. Remember that? Forgotten Dreams, of course, something from my childhood. It is, oh, wow. Every time I hear the Leroy Anderson Forgotten Dreams, I go into a
tremendous
state of melancholy. Nothing wrong with melancholy. Anyway, Blue Tango, we all know that. The Waltzing Cat. There was the syncopated clock, the waltz. I don't remember the Waltzing Cat. Let me just see this for a second. Where does this go? We'll all know it. You know all these songs that he did. No, I don't want the advertisement. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you when I'm tired. Why does skip ad? Okay, let's go to the. this is the waltzing cat? Let's try and remember this one. Oh, my goodness. This is called the waltzing cat. You see how many tunes you've probably heard that you don't know belong in the catalog of Leroy Anderson? How did we get to Leroy Anderson? I'll tell you how we got to Eloy. We got to him because, you know, even one sense, because his accomplishments are... What? How did we lose that?
Tremendous.
Tremendous, yeah. It just disappeared from me. I'm trying to keep up with this. Wow, so that's the waltzing cat. So many recognizable pieces. I know Blue Tango. We all know Blue Tango. The Irish Washerwoman? I know. You're going, no, you shouldn't do this, Frank, because... Oh, here's one, though. Let's do this. We'll talk about... you want to talk about syncopated things? You want to talk about, and we didn't talk about that. We talked about many other things. Let me find, see if I can find a better version of this. Well, no, you know, it's good to do it live, because when you do it live, because when they do it live, they actually have to use the name of the piece. Everyone knows this. I know you know it. Maybe your brain works like this. I hope it's not another rabbit. No, maybe it does. Here we go. We all know this. Got to use the actual machine to do it. That's right, a typewriter. A typewriter. People don't even have typewriters anymore. This has become
tremendous.
Yes. Listen. I would like to do this and use that. She's using an old Underwood. I used to have one of these. A gigantic in the middle. You gotta use the bell. People are going, what is that, a keyboard? Yeah, I can... Oh, well. Oh, I would love to do... I want to play the typewriter in this piece. Someone... Imagine how many people out there listening don't know what's going on. Okay, absolutely. I know you must have heard that sometime or other. It's
tremendous.
His voice is getting even more and more tremendous. Typewriter. Leroy Anderson, yes, you do remember that one. That is tremendous. And it wasn't until I played that now that I realized that if that was done today, they'd be using an antique there. No one uses it. Think about this. Not only are there people, and I gave life to two of them, or I assisted in giving life to two of them, who never used the typewriter, don't know the machine, and yet if they heard that, and think about this, if you heard that, and you're of the you're a millennium person or a generation beyond, you know, you're a digital generation person your whole life, and you just heard that, and you didn't see them actually using this machine to make writer, unless you have done some studying. I'm not saying stupid that you would know. But a lot of people don't know. And so, but it just suddenly got me in my head that that is, they've actually used that, and that if they did it today, does that matter? No, it doesn't matter at all. I'm looking through some of these other ones. Everybody knows Sleigh Ride, but I'm not going to play a Christmas piece now. We all know that very positive. I mean, it's positively a classic when it comes to the season. You know, it's not a Christmas tune. It's the typewriter animation. It's amazing. Jazz Legato. I know there's other ones you must have heard, and I didn't mean to give you a lesson on him, but this is just the way the brain has gone here. Sandpaper Ballet. So he did one with sandpaper? Yeah! Of course. No, we still have sandpaper. We don't. We use it. Okay. Okay. He just, no, whatever it was, he found something to do and he did it. This was very popular stuff. And it was, some of these have names, titles? This is the name of the title. It's different. You can't say name, titles, names. Some of these have titles that you don't know, but you've heard the tune. That's how incredibly popular were the tunes of Leroy Anderson. The just jazz pizzicato. We must know that also. Okay, and I just got hung up on this while I'm doing a show. I shouldn't be doing that. Hey, my name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name is the title of the show. And here we are. If you had your Cotolo Chronicles, if you have your Cotolo Chronicles notebook on this particular show where we had no guest other than the incredible Leroy Anderson. Oh, look at this. The Phantom Regiment was used in, I didn't know that. Was this used in the Phantom Regiment? By Leroy Anderson. Was this used in? No. Oh. Everyone knows this. Huh? Yeah. Like I was saying, I'll do it over the great music of Leroy Anderson. How about that? It's like actual radio. Oh, you're listening to Cotolo Chronicles, your Cotolo Chronicles notebook. You got plenty of things. If you wrote them down while you were replenishing your precious bodily fluids, it's almost a shame to talk over a beautiful musical piece. I feel suddenly like I'm corrupting, invading. I'm sorry. Leroy has turned over in his grave any number of times when I talked about him. Well, even though, probably not. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't a snob. Maybe he said, like, hey, just the fact that you love my music, no matter what you do with it. I remember Blue Tango. I mean, I could talk over Blue Tango. Can I? Should I? Everyone knows this. This is just great. This, everyone knows the Blue Tango. This, you could definitely say, is
tremendous.
Absolutely. Dun, 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 dun. So, as I was saying, dun, 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 this makes me want to do a tango. I don't even know a tango. Have you seen the movie Assassination Tango? You should see it with Robert Duvall. He directed it and wrote it, too. It's a wonderful movie. Okay, next week, Mr. Tom Savino, will be here for a Savino Cotolo Chronicles. As the weeks go on, other guests will ensue, including we're going to get Dr. Karen Wyatt back sometime, probably in June. Heather Drain is coming back. We're going to do a special top 10 of some particular type of genre of weird movie, and she'll give us the top 10. We'll talk about these movies, maybe top 20, I don't know. Maybe, you know, bad zombie movies or zombie movies would be good. A lot of you guys and gals out there who are into zombies or vampire movies, top 10, whatever. We'll do that with the Heather Drain. So we've got that. And I haven't even written this stuff down there, but because we have, this is one of four shows in June, and then we have 1, 2, 3, 4 in July too. This is, I don't think any music in the represents my growing up, aside from one particular Mozart piece. Someone would say, well, you should write a book Hey, someone said that to me recently. I have. I've written a book, but they said, no, not that kind of, not the kind of book you wrote. You should write another kind of book. I should write another kind of book. There is something about a tango, huh? Something syncopated, controlled, and beautiful. You could see the tight vest. You could see the woman and the wonderful makeup that is just adorned her face, make just bringing out features on her face, and the man just commanding the steps and the movement, not grace, almost robotic in a sense. What was wrong? Man, imagine the things going on in Leroy Anderson's head. Imagine.
Tremendous.
It's the most I could say. That is, but not terrifying. That terrifying definition, part of the definition, really has really rocked me into, hey, what happened to the other thing? Oh, there it is. I got all these windows open on here. So we would have, and Kurt Brando, I promise we'll be back. He keeps telling me that he's going to find a time when he could stay up because he's over in the United Arab Emirates. Imagine if they were ununited. That would not be tremendous. There, the United Arab Emirates. So the Emirates are of Arab nationality, and they are united. So we're going to say that Emirates are different kinds of Arab? Or what is an Emirate? That sounded like I was on Jeopardy. Alex, what is an Emirate? That's correct. I'll take names of combined groups of things for 600. I don't, or something. By the way, I was, do you know the amount of, I knew somebody who tried to be, and someone who was extremely smart in terms, and I mean smart. I don't mean smart in the way I was talking about smart. Like you're in touch with all the elements and you're in touch with the force of life that brings you life. And not like Peter Popoff, but, you know, you're really there. You're using so much of your brain that you're just smart and you're ahead of all the fixed things. I don't mean that. I mean book smart. Let's call it book smart. And could not get on Jeopardy, on the TV show Jeopardy, because they have tests. You can't just go on there because, if I went on Jeopardy, that would be the greatest parody of all time. Because I told you, I'm not, know what I don't know. I mean, they have these categories and you have to see the question. So I said, what is an Emirate? I can't even think of the answer. So how would I know the question? And then, it's like the opposite of what is this, an interview, because you're going to give the answers, not the questions. Imagine, and now this is true, and this happens anyway, and I know it happens too. People didn't know the answers if you asked the questions, but also people would tell you the answers, that is, facts that they thought were facts. If you didn't ask them a question about it, they were telling you what they knew, because they know it all. How come nobody ever called them Kias? What a Kia. Not that I have ever heard. Nobody ever said Kia. He's a Kia. Know it all. They never made an acronym out of know it all. But, you know, on the, and see, here's what I'm thinking. I'm going with the stream now. I'm going with it because there was a section of the Rocky and Bullwinkle show where Bullwinkle played Mr. Know It All. Does anyone remember that? And that they never know. Hey, Rocky. And then Rocky would go, Rocky would say something. Or Mr. Know-It-All, I don't remember if Rocky asked a question or if Mr. Know-It-All just spurted out these things that he knows. A spider has 13 legs and, hey, Mr. Know-It-All. And once in a while I do that. I walk around, talk. I don't just talk like Rocky and Bullwinkle. I actually talk like Boris Badenoff, their arch enemy, talking about them. So I'm going to do Moose and Squirrel now. I got a Moose and Squirrel. Hey, Bullwinkle. What? And I do this, and I'm not taken away. I do this in a public place. You would think they'd come and take me away. But this is what's going on, that if I repeat, you know, they say, and I'm not, you know, look, I'm not a complete idiot. That is, I don't, my id, you know, if you're an idiot, it's when you're doing everything at the spur of the moment and you're not thinking through editing. Because I edit. I mean, I handle business affairs. I handle relationships and stuff with editing. I'm not always walking around telling everybody what's going on in my head. But I do more than most people address it verbally or talk about it. And this is another reason why my marks were terrible in school. But in the long run, this, of course, this knowledge, this acceptance, this embracing of the flow of my thoughts, the parade of thoughts, has made me, I think it's done wonders for my blood pressure. One time I went to the doctor when I was younger than now, though. Not that I have a great blood pressure problem, I do not, but I have, but it's, you know, it quivers and quavers. Does it quaver? It quivers. Can it quiver and quaver? It's not as good as when I was 30, whatever, let's just say. So, and the doctor said to me, he said, wow, he said, for your age, you have the blood pressure of a 25-year-old. He said, unfortunately, you also have the brain of a 25-year-old, which was not really flattering if you're 40. And just to say that once I was 40, once there were green fields kissed by the sun, once I was 40 and then 41, to think back of that. Friend of mine had a birthday today, and it was not Robert Englund. He's 66. Friend of mine had a birthday today, turned 30. Why would I have a friend who's 30? What is that all about? Because I don't have, you see what I'm saying? I don't have these fixed actions, reactions. I don't have this. But what I thought about, as I think about these things, 30. 30. How is that? Wow, that's wild. Because that's wild. 30 is a little more than half my age. And people who are just listening to this show for the first time or for the first few times, that's been complimentary. People say, like, this guy's what? This guy's that age? See, I still don't even say it. I just abhor the sound of it. But this friend of mine is 30, and wow, that's 30. And I think that at 30, I was not dancing to the exact rhythm at 30 that I spoke of through this entire show. I was not thinking like that. I did not have the pace. And you hear that? You hear those spaces, those voids, and what's worse, they are empty voids, the dynamics of it. I stop, and there's that gap. And the gap, there's stuff in the gap. If you were in my head, and God knows why you'd want to be in my head, at a restaurant last night, waitress said, I read your mind, because I wanted more coffee, I read your mind. And I said, do yourself a favor, stop reading my mind. That can be a lot of trouble if you do that. that could be a lot of trouble. In the meantime, in between time, my name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And the show that has been going on is now very close to being over. In fact, I think...
That's Cotolo over there. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I know. That's him. I think the trumpet is sounding... So wake up, it's night, everyone, and be with us again next time. If everything goes right, Mr. Tom Savino will be here with me, and then we'll take the rest of June out with a large hacksaw or something. In any event, in all events, look, here's the deal. The deal is, you be well. And when you're not well, vomit it out and you'll feel well. Do we need? I don't even need a moral to the story or a theme. That's just the way it goes. And that's the way it will go. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you are. Go buy License to Skill, everyone. Put it on your mobile. And also buy... What else can you buy? I don't know. Buy it all. Go get going. I leave now. I got a lot more to think, but I got nothing more to say.